Producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio, GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at gcnlive.com.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
All right, welcome to hour number two of the broadcast. As usual, this is our guest hour. So if you're a new listener, the first hour is news and comment. Then in the second hour, we do a full-blown interview. And we love to take our time. We take a full hour, and we explore books, topics that are of interest to me. And boy, have we got one for you tonight. In November 1988, Hugh John Simmons, Margaret Thatcher's favorite speechwriter and our guest tonight's best friend, boss, and political mentor, turned up dead in a woodland glade a few miles from their sleepy suburban hometown, 20 miles west of London. To learn why his best friend was murdered, Jeffrey Gilson journeyed into the dangerous world of international arms deals, covert intelligence operations, and high-level political corruption, and discovered a secret that explains much of contemporary history. And I'll tell you what, this book gives me chills because when I look in the back, it is so carefully footnoted and documented. And you go in the bibliography and you look up a word like MI6, and there's tons of page references, Mossad, tons of page references, CIA, tons of page references. This is an amazing story. The book is called Maggie's Hammer, and that's Maggie as in Margaret Thatcher, and the author Jeffrey Gilson is with us. Jeffrey, good to have you with us, sir. Can you hear me, Jeffrey?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can now. Very okay. Good. Good to have you with us, sir.
Guy's got to push the right button.
There we go. Yeah, absolutely. This book is so fascinating. I don't know where to start, but let's start by getting to know a little bit about you. I was reading from the back flap of the book. Apparently, you live in the United States now, but you're obviously someone that was born in Britain. And it says here that you trained as a lawyer. You were in the PR business. You were very active politically there. So are you now a U.S. citizen, or are you simply a Brit that has relocated here?
No, actually, I'm the genuine article. I just have a strange accent. My parents are both American. On both sides of my family, I'm American. My father's from Boston. My mother's from Chicago. But I was born and raised in England, so I've never shaken the accent. And I moved back here for various reasons and now live in North Carolina, in a small town in the central North Carolina, which is actually where I started off. I started off in a small town in England, just to the west of London, as you said. And if your listeners can imagine those Hollywood scenes of the duck pond and the village green and the Tudor housing all around, the sort of Cinderella-type setting, that's exactly the sort of place that I came from. I thought pretty idyllic. I was leading quite an ordinary life. I'm not a formal investigative reporter, a former spook or a law enforcement official. I don't have tons of money behind me. I'm just an ordinary person like the people listening to this show who found something that didn't make sense and started asking questions.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you start asking questions. I'm not an investigative reporter myself, and I wrote a book 2 years ago about a worldwide Ponzi scheme that actually was based out of Birmingham, England. So I start writing blog articles about this, and then I'm looking, and people are following me. I mean, I'm seeing people following me, and then I have these folks threatening to they're going to have private investigators researching me, and all of this stuff is happening. And I'm thinking to myself, man, there are some really nasty people out there. Now, this wasn't me going after any government, although it was quite a close-knit group of scammers worldwide. In your case, you're going up against not just governments, but the intelligence agencies as well. I mean,
I didn't know that at first. I mean, at first, what happened was Hugh, who was my friend, but also my boss in the law firm that he owned in Beaconsfield, Sleepy Town, turned up dead in the woods, November 1988. Very surprising. $7 million was missing from his client's account in the law firm. And the authorities pretty much took the view that that was an open and shut case. Money missing, guy dead, whatever. I go into some detail in the book about, and I think you've mentioned the name of the book is Maggie's Hammer. And I go into some detail about why it didn't make any sense to me. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, Jim. I liked Hugh. He was my friend, but he was a bit of a rogue. I'm not trying to vindicate him. He got involved in stuff he should not have got involved in. But the fact of the matter is that when he died, it didn't make any sense to me, precisely because he wasn't an angel. He's not the sort of person who would have taken something going wrong lying down. He's the sort of person who would have taken the money and gone to Brazil and telephoned everyone to say where he was. That may not make him sound very noble, but one of the things I've discovered about some of the noble agendas that are pursued in this world by our governments is that they use less than noble people to meet those ends. So, I didn't know.
Now, let me ask you, at the time that this happened,
yes,
was this a big story in the news? This was 1988. So was Hugh John Simmons, was he of such a level as a personality in that country that this was a big deal in the news? Or was it sort of like, just another death that kind of doesn't get reported too widely?
It's like this, Jim, and it's where I had a great deal of problem trying to encourage the authorities to look beyond the immediate and trying to look at, you know, what's the expression when all the possibilities have run out, you look at the impossible. And they refused to do that. And they wouldn't understand the kind of strange niche that Hugh occupied. I'll try and paint the picture very briefly. This is a man who was very successful in business, very successful in law, and on the verge of breaking through in politics. We both wanted to be in Parliament, and he was almost there. But before you break through, nobody knows who you are. The moment you break through and are on the national scene, if you're any good, you get noticed very, very quickly. He was on the verge. He hadn't yet broken through. Yet even so, he had made headlines from time to time with certain things that he'd done politically, so that when he died, he was, in fact, front-page news because he was Margaret Thatcher's favorite speechwriter. So it wasn't a death that went unnoticed. And that's the kind of interesting thing, because one of the things that one or two listeners have come back on other shows and have said is, in their commentary, we've checked online, we can't find any mention of this guy anywhere. And I said, no, you can't. And if that strikes you as strange, it strikes me as strange, too, because he wasn't unknown.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, this almost sounds like the Vince Foster suicide. Vince Foster, very close to the Clintons. He's found in a rural location in a national park, supposedly having had committed suicide. His desk was all rummaged through, and it just was very suspicious all around. Was this considered by the authorities, was the whitewash story that it was a suicide? What was their explanation of the death?
No, to be honest, it wasn't, Jim, and I've struggled with this over the years. People may wonder why on earth I became so interested and why I've stayed interested for 27 years. I think it's important to set that in context. I was his friend, close friend, but the important thing was when he died at the age of 40, he had three young children, an 11-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And I will tell you, Jim, and I don't feel embarrassed about saying this on your show, you hold the hands of an 11-year-old girl and try and explain why their father is dead and didn't leave any explanation, it is an episode that sticks with you for the rest of your life. 27 years is a sneeze compared to the look in those girls' eyes. And I made myself a promise, as old-fashioned as it may sound and as weird and as it is in the current world, I made myself a promise that I would find out the truth about her father.
All right, we've got a break coming up, Jeffrey. After the break, we're going to get into this more fascinating story, Maggie's Hammer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hi, this is radio talk show host and proud gun owner Jim Paris for HomeGunBusiness.com. Recent statistics show that gun sales are absolutely going through the roof. Honestly, it's no wonder today that people are buying guns in such record numbers. I just stumbled across a very, very interesting way to cash in on the explosion in firearm sales. Did you know that you can legally set up a home-based gun dealership and the cost to obtain a federal firearms license is ridiculously low? As an FFL dealer, you can even buy your own guns and ammo at wholesale. Now, if you'd like to get all of the details and the information you need to get started in a business like this, check out the website HomeGunBusiness.com. That's HomeGunBusiness.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Hi, my name is DeRay, suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle, actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
The human body is more than 60% water. Your brain and muscles are 75% water. And your blood is 92% water. Water is vital to your body, and alkalizing your water is the key to keep it running at its best. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops keep your entire body healthy, boosts energy, promotes weight loss, and even fights cancer. Call 800-518-7615 or go to alkavision.com to find out more. That's alkavision.com.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back, and you've got to get this book. It's called Maggie's Hammer, How Investigating the Mysterious Death of My Friend Uncovered a Netherworld of Illegal Arms Deals, Political Slush Funds, High-Level Corruption, and Britain's 30-Year Secret Role as America's Hired Gun. The book is available at Amazon. I've seen it on other sites. There's also a website, maggieshammer.com. maggieshammer.com. And our guest is the author, Jeffrey Gilson. Jeffrey, so before we get into the international conspiracy and all of that, I want to learn a little bit more about the death of your friend. What was the official cause of death that they gave the public? I mean, obviously the implication here is that there was, you know, something that happened that was untoward, but what was the sort of whitewash story that people were expected to believe in and live with and sort of, you know, move along? There's nothing to see here.
Well, the official story was given that since there was money, substantial amount of money, $7.5 million, missing from the client's account of his law firm, to which he was the sole signatory, the death was pretty obvious, and it was ruled as suicide, and he was then cremated, which was not unusual. Let's not attach anything to that. I've been asked, well, did you do anything about that? I'm one guy. What can I do? At the time, I didn't realize that anything was untoward, other than the fact that it didn't make sense that he killed himself, even if the money was missing. It just didn't make sense. But beyond that, I have no resources or authority or power to do anything about it. It was only later that I was told a different story, by which time, of course, he was cremated. So the official story was that he had committed suicide because of the missing money. As I mentioned before the break, the authorities spent not very much time looking into it because they thought they had an open and shut case. I determined.
Was there ever any forensic accounting of where that money went? Was there ever, for example, any evidence that he was living a higher lifestyle than he could afford being used for that or anything along those lines?
No, that was the interesting thing. There was an investigation. The Law Society, which is the British equivalent of the National Bar Association, launched their own inquiries. They pretty much took control of his affairs and didn't let anybody else in. And they and the police tried to find the money. They did not find the money. They have never found the money. And indeed, after a very short period of time, stopped their investigations, which is why I got involved, because I couldn't understand why they would stop the investigations. It didn't make sense to me that he died. The one answer that we had was that we might find out where the money went. And Jim, I'll be honest, I never went looking for any of this. I just wanted an answer for his kids. And if the answer was, hey, guess what? This guy's got a mistress stashed away in Australia, and that's where all the money went, I'd have said, well, I got my feelings about that, Hugh. USOB, if I'm allowed to say SOB on your channel. But at least we've got an answer. But they stopped when they didn't have an answer. That's why I got involved asking questions. And I'm an ordinary guy. I may not know many things, but as a lawyer...
Yeah, that part of it is... That's fascinating. That right there would make me super skeptical, the fact
Absolutely.
That they couldn't figure out where the money went. I mean, even at the time when this took place, the late 1980s, we still would have had the technology and the money laundering laws and provisions and so forth in a, you know, modern country like the UK, that you just can't make money disappear. I mean, unless he was able to put it into cash and put it into duffel bags, you just can't make that kind of money disappear,
of money. At the time, and I detail this, I go into some detail in the book about this. You're going exactly to the human level my book goes to, which is stop thinking about terms like money laundering, because that doesn't mean anything to people. But how do you actually make money disappear? Okay, you put it into duffel bags. You, Jim, probably have a very fair idea of how much $1 million looks like in a duffel bag.
Pretty big duffel bag.
I can tell you, nobody ever saw Hugh wandering down the streets of this small village with a couple of duffel bags under his arm. I mean, if he was, I kept saying this to the investigators, if you're seriously suggesting this is what he did, how come none of his friends and none of his family ever saw him doing this? Now, I will offer your readers a little teaser before I move on to the international conspiracy about the death. At the time, I had nothing, there was nothing strange about it. It was only later on I was told some strange things. And in regards as to why the investigation ended, here's one. His primary bank was a bank called National Westminster. I later discovered that it wasn't a local branch that took an interest in where the money was going. It was the chairman of the bank, a gentleman called Lord Boardman, who was a former treasurer of the British Conservative Party with very definite connections to the top of the Conservative Party. And my information is that he was the person who got involved with the police and the Law Society and stopped the investigation.
And who was the client who was the fiduciary owner of these funds?
There were many.
Okay, so this was like his, he was a lawyer, and like we have lawyers here in the U.S., they have a trust accounts where they're holding money for clients, maybe for a lawsuit to be ultimately resolved or for an estate to be settled, this sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, one morning, all of this money is gone mysteriously, and he is supposedly committing suicide. And I love the fact that you're very honest about your thoughts about him as a man, because I know people like this that you like them, but you're not, you don't think of them as someone that's sort of introspective that would commit suicide. In other words, you're saying, look, this guy was a hard charging guy. He's not going to go commit suicide. Even if he did something like this, he would probably be more like the Bill Clinton in denying it and trying to, you know, move the chess pieces around on the board. He's not the sort of guy to go into the corner, sucking his thumb, crying and kill himself. This is not who this guy was.
No, I mean, Jimmy, I'll be honest. It's difficult for me to say that. I would love to be able to say my friend was an angel and how dare this happen to him. But anybody with half a brain is going to say there's no way you can convince us that your friend was involved in all the things you're telling us about in the book. High-level political intrigue, assassination, money laundering at an international level, and that he was an angel who was also the leader of his local Boy Scouts. Of course he's not. You and I, Jim, were men of the world. We know that the people who run these kinds of things, even if their purpose is good, they have to be hard-charging, ambitious guys who have their, what should we call them, flaws, okay? They are. That's the way the world is.
And if you're in your case, you know, you're someone that wanted to be upwardly mobile in terms of the government and elected office and so forth. So, you know, generally these are the kinds of dogs you're running with, if you can use that term. These are the kind of people, they're upwardly mobile. Maybe some might say a bit narcissistic. People that are, you know, extremely ambitious. And this is just odd. A guy in the prime of his life, 40 years old, shows up dead, former speechwriter, favorite speechwriter of Margaret Thatcher, politically connected attorney. All of a sudden he's dead. Millions of dollars are missing from his bank account. Now, your goal was strictly to try to solve this. What happened so you could explain it for his kids? We have a break coming up, so I want to set the stage as we go into this next segment. When we come back from this break, what I'm going to do is let Jeffrey talk, and I'm going to shut up, and we're going to talk about where this led to, where he was going, and how this ended up getting into an international, worldwide conspiracy when he began investigating the mysterious death of his friend. All of that, we'll take some of your phone calls as well right after this. Stay tuned.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting goberkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
If you're like me, you're concerned about the stock market and the economy. You're asking the questions, but it just doesn't seem that you're getting the right answers. Well, my friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute not only have the answers, but they've put together a free report, How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your 401ks, IRA Savings, and Retirement Income. Don't hesitate. This report's for free for a limited time by calling 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take back your financial lives today.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to idstronghold.com and get the facts and the wallets, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit idstronghold.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, so you maybe just snuck out to the kitchen to get a sandwich, and now you're back. And now we get into the really spooky stuff here, folks. If you're just tuning in, our guest is Jeffrey Gilson. The book is Maggie's Hammer, How Investigating the Mysterious Death of My Friend Uncovered a Netherworld of Illegal Arms Deals, Political Slush Funds, High-Level Corruption, and Britain's 30-Year Secret Role as America's Hired Gun. And we're talking about November of 1988, Hugh John Simmons, an attorney and also favorite speechwriter of Margaret Thatcher, turns up dead in the woods. And the cause of death is said to be suicide, but that doesn't add up. There's $7+ million missing. No one knows where the money is. And Jeffrey Gilson, the author of this fantastic book, is with us to tell us he was just looking to solve this mystery of what happened to his friend. And he got into something he had no idea what he was going to get into. And Jeffrey, let's get right into how this led to the worldwide international conspiracy spanning two continents and several decades.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Let me try and get there by a couple of quick steps. So there I am, $7 million is missing. The Law Society and the police have stopped investigating. I can't work out why. I go and see the Law Society in London, which was surreal. There was me on one side of the table and seven suited people on the other side of the table. And they were grilling me and asking me questions, but in the middle of asking the questions, somebody let slip the fact that they weren't looking for $7 million, they were looking for $15 million. And I said, why? And they said, well, because that's what we've discovered so far. And I said, hang on, you just told me you hadn't discovered anything. Sounds of sounds of ankles being kicked under the table and silence descends. Well, several months later, the lead investigator for the Law Society contacted me to say that he'd been told to stop investigating, but he'd like to meet me privately. And he met me with a conversation and had a conversation, which he now denies. He is very scared man. He changed his business. He's now somewhere in the depths of Surrey. He will not talk about this. I've tried. But he said, I want to tell you this because I believe that what you're doing is honorable. It wasn't just $15 million we found. We found anywhere between $30 million and $150 million in places they shouldn't be. It's not that we didn't find where the money is. It's that we've been told not to go there.
Wow.
So that started me looking. The next stop is in Glasgow, where there was a name of somebody that I'd remembered that Hugh had met. And I was trying any name that I knew. Through that contact, I was told that that Hugh was a senior officer in MI6, which is the British Foreign Intelligence Service, and that his death had absolutely nothing to do with taking money and lining his own pockets, which we already knew. It had to do with something to do with British intelligence. I was told some details, but this guy was also very, very scared. I guess at that stage I should have been too, but for some reason, I don't know, I wasn't. I think too stupid to be scared, Jim. So at that stage, I started trying to do some intensive research. You mentioned at the beginning of the show the extent of the research that I undertook. And I won't bore listeners with that. I keep this part of the book very, very sparse, so it keeps moving fast. But that research led to an Israeli intelligence agent in Montreal. One of the features of this book is I don't accept something just because somebody says it. I don't accept something just because it's written. I want to know firsthand. I want to look into somebody's eyes and question them about what they're saying.
And I want to just interject here because I have your book and I have it open to the page where there's a letter, a photocopied letter from 10 Downing Street addressed to you.
Yes.
And they say they will neither confirm or deny whether Mr. Simmons was an intelligence agent.
Yeah, if you understand British bureaucratic speak, that is yes, but we're not going to tell you so.
Right. And then it says, we're glad we can be of help to you at the end. Like
Jim, understand.
Typical government bureaucrat.
If you see who the letter is signed by, it's signed by someone called Alex Allen, A-L-L-A-N. Anybody who Googles Alex Allen now will discover that he holds the position, or just held the position, of permanent secretary to the Parliamentary Security and Intelligence Oversight Committee, and was previously the chairman of the Joint Intelligence Committee. This was not some secretary. This was the most senior civil servant in Great Britain.
And there he is. I've got him up here on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Sir Alexander Claude Stuart Allen, senior British civil servant. Chairman of the Joint Intelligence Committee and head of intelligence assessment for Her Majesty's government.
Let me give you a hint. Let me give your listeners a hint now. If you write to President Obama and say that your best friend was a member of British intelligence or American intelligence, CIA, and you think he was up to no good in, Iran, Iraq, the chances are you'll get a nice letter back from somebody in the correspondence department saying, thank you very much for your inquiry, please continue the good work, and here's a picture of President Obama. You don't get a letter back from President Obama's chief of staff. So clearly there's something going on here. What it was, now I'll leap straight to it. I was talking to the Israeli intelligence agent, and he was the person who gave me most of the information. It took place over several conversations, which were kind of nerve-wracking. One of the things I've discovered, Jim, although it's a good idea in terms of truth-seeking to go and ask people exactly what the truth is, but if you turn up unannounced on the doorstep of intelligence agents, it makes them a little bit nervous.
And this I guy can got imagine.
This guy got a bit nervous to begin with.
Yeah, they're used to being the one showing up unannounced with the questions, not the reverse.
They like to make you nervous. Over the course of several years, we had conversations. There were some dead ends and some red herrings. Intelligence agents are trained to be duplicitous. They didn't know who I was. After a while, they began to believe that I was genuine and just exactly what I said I was, someone looking for the truth. But not at first. So I had to go down some dead ends before I got to the truth. And I set those out in the book so that people can see everything. I treat my potential readers as intelligent human beings. I set out what I was told. You read it, you make up your own mind. If you don't agree with me, I won't take any offense. What he ended up painting for me was, along with a couple of other intelligence agents, was this picture. That if you want to find out what's going on in the world, particularly about America's involvement in foreign policy, which goodness knows confuses me sometimes and must confuse other listeners, the roads do not lead to Washington, the roads lead to London. Beginning in the 1980s with an arrangement that Margaret Thatcher struck with Ronald Reagan. And I want to say straight away, I understand the show that I'm on, Jim, and I'm very grateful to be here. And there may be people who take offense at the comments I might be about to make about Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, no, people, make whatever. I mean, we're truth tellers here. So
absolutely. This is not about politics.
Yeah, the only rule is no profanity. Other than that, just tell us what you've got to say.
This is not about politics. This is about every single individual citizen in Great Britain and America being able to expect the best of their government, whether they are our heroes or not. And Margaret Thatcher used to be one of my heroes. Let's make absolutely clear about that. Anyway, what I discovered was that when Margaret Thatcher took power in 1980 in Great Britain was bankrupt. At that time, we were the Greece of our day. We were going cap in hand to the IMF to bail out our public finances. Industry was broken. The public finances were sparse. What you did was set about rebuilding industry in Great Britain by expanding the arms industry. If you want to expand dramatically the arms industry, you have to do deals by the back door as well as by the front door. You have to do deals with countries that you really don't like. And in the 80s, the primary arms business in the world was with the countries of Iraq and Iran, who were at war with each other. And in the course of the 80s, about $80 billion worth of arms were sold to Iran, and about $60 billion worth of arms were sold to Iraq. And contrary to what most of the media thinks, The main protagonist for selling arms to Iran was not Oliver North. My information, and I set this out in the book, is that Oliver North was a sideshow, and he was a setup to deflect attention from the main business, which was being done by Great Britain and the Israelis. And
I was just about to say Iran-Contra when you mentioned Oliver North, and none of that, honestly, will come as a surprise to anyone. And the idea that we've got two countries fighting and we're selling arms to both sides, man, that's as American as you can get.
Except most of it was not being done by...
You're actually right, from Britain, but I'm just saying I don't think anyone will be offended or surprised. Our last segment coming up with Jeffrey Gilson. We'll take a couple of calls if we can, squeeze in a couple of email questions. We'll be right back. Hi, this is radio talk show host and proud gun owner Jim Paris for HomeGunBusiness.com. Have you seen websites or even heard radio ads offering guns for sale? Well, let me let you in on a little secret. Did you know that if someone buys a gun mail order, it must be shipped first to a local federally licensed firearms dealer? Now, the local dealer can make $25 to $50 for simply receiving the gun and doing the paperwork for the buyer. Now, most people don't know that they can do this. They can become a fully licensed federal firearms dealer for under $200, operate a business like this from home, and just doing these simple transfers, they can earn hundreds of dollars per week. Now, that's not all. As an FFL, you can also buy guns and ammo wholesale for yourself. Check it out today, HomeGunBusiness.com. The website, HomeGunBusiness.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Leave it alone, it'll come back around. Does that sound familiar? Most financial professionals are telling their clients that very thing. Don't panic. The stock market goes up, the stock market goes down. The real question you should be asking your financial professional is, do I have an exit strategy so I don't see a repeat of 2008? Look, friends, right now there are rumors circulating by many economists and self-proclaimed financial gurus that something significant could happen in September. I feel it's incumbent to warn you and help you at the same time. My friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute have a free report on how you can have an exit strategy. It's called How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your Savings, Retirement, 401ks, IRAs, and Income. Don't hesitate. Don't wait for another 2008. Call right now, 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929 for that free report, How to Survive an Upcoming Economic Collapse.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back. Let's give out the phone number here quickly if you want to get in with a question or comment. We'll take some questions by email also, jim@christianmoney.com. Please include the city where you are listening, jim@christianmoney.com. If you're listening over the internet, just list the city where you live. If you're in a major market, go ahead and list that if you're listening by way of a radio station. 877-317-6432 is the phone number to jump on the phone lines here and join us with a question or comment for our guest, Jeffrey Gilson. 877-317-6432. If you're listening on a Sunday night, you're listening live. If it's between 9 and 11 p.m. Eastern, 877-317-6432, or questions by email, jim@christianmoney.com. A question did come in, and I don't want to get you off track, Jeffrey, because you're really laying this all out here. But this is a great question from Chicago. Listener in Chicago, they want to know, is this still going on today, or are we talking about something from the past, or is this a current possibility that this could still be going on?
Great question. I'm glad it came from Chicago. My mother went to Evanston High School, so I know Chicago.
Wow, I went to high school in Chicago also. Very, very
excellent.
Interesting.
That is a very good question, because I'm sure listeners are saying, yeah, well, this is all very interesting. Who cares about the 80s? If you want to understand what's going on now, all roads lead not only to London, they lead to the 80s. Let's take a specific example. Back in the 80s, Great Britain, on behalf of America, clandestinely, is selling arms through the Conservative Party and Margaret Thatcher to Iraq, $60 billion worth of arms, including material for nuclear, chemical, and biological weaponry. We decide it's time to take Saddam Hussein out. We take out Saddam Hussein. Goodness, no weapons of mass destruction. Not true. Those chemical weapons are now in the hands of ISIS. ISIS, which was based upon the Iraqi army, which was disbanded when we took over Iraq. These generals are running around with nothing to do. They formed their own organization called ISIS, and we are now dealing with ISIS in Syria. Is that important now? The British are helping to arm an organization called Al-Nusra, again, secretly on behalf of the American government, because the American government can't arm them because of congressional oversight, as a bulwark against ISIS. In other words, reader, listener, whoever you are, it's still going on. What happened in the 80s is that Margaret Thatcher expanded the British arms industry to fill the gap that America couldn't. Margaret Thatcher pimped out her military and her intelligence services to act as a special operations surrogate for America, and those are still happening all around the world today in exactly the same countries they were happening in, in which it was happening back then. Same countries, different chapter.
This question coming in from Jacksonville, Florida, and there's so much to this book, folks. Even though you're hearing this interview, a lot of times you can hear an interview and then skip the book. That's not going to be the case here. This is like, I mean, a book you probably want to read it twice because it's got so much detail, and there's copies of letters he's received and news stories. It's fascinating, and you want to still get the book. But this is a great question coming in from Florida. They want to know, in the end, did you find out what happened with your friend's death? Did you find the so-called smoking gun and know, okay, definitively, this is probably what happened in terms of who, you know, because this is all interesting, money laundering, millions of dollars missing. But if he was involved with this, why would they want to kill him? Who was it in the end? Or did he try to double cross them or expose them? What was your final conclusion about what really may have happened to your friend Hugh Simmons?
That's a really good question, and I don't want to make it the last question, but it may well be, because it really deserves a good answer. The broad answer to that question is, no, I haven't got all the answers. I'm just one person. And the reason I've written this book at this stage is because I've got just about as far as I can get. And the reason I want people to buy this book is because I need your help. I'm one set of eyes. I need more sets of eyes. The reason the book is so detailed is because I want readers to go through this and determine for themselves whether I'm missing something. Because it's very strange, Jim. I've been told an awful lot about what he was involved in. I've been told about what he was doing. And primarily what he was doing was he was part of a very important support team that Margaret Thatcher created to troubleshoot this new relationship with the United States and engage in whatever activity was necessary to smooth the path. And when I start asking questions about that, even the most hardened of intelligence agents start to get rather shifty. And all I can say is, I have been given evidence that suggests that his role included not just money laundering, but assassination. I've been pointed in that direction. And I believe, and I'm going to have to leave listeners to make up their own mind when they read the book, I believe that I actually spoke to the man who may have taken Hugh out.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, there's some notes here from your publicist, and this really caught my eye. And I said, if we have time, I want to get into this, but I wanted to get at least the meat of the story in, which I think we have. We've kind of set the stage for people to be able to buy the book. Now, we're not just talking here about sort of government money laundering to get around, let's say, Congress or get around, you know, the legislatures in our various countries, but people personally profiting from these arms deals. And some notes here from your publicist suggest the son of Margaret Thatcher, whose name is Mark, the Reagan family, and maybe even the Bush family could have possibly their fingerprints on personal gain from these shenanigans. Would you go that far?
Well, Jim, I used to be a lawyer, so I'm very careful about what I say. And again, listeners are going to have to make up their own minds when they read the book. And indeed, don't just make up your own mind. If this book does anything, I want it to be an inspiration to people faced with government they sometimes don't understand, that it is possible for one person, any one person listening to this show, to do what I've done. Maybe you won't go the same places I do, but you can ask questions at any level of government because you have the power. We are equal in this country, and we should never forget that. And it may be that someone listening to this station, reading my book, sees something I've completely missed, knows somebody and goes off and does their own investigation. Please do it. Go right ahead. So I got to be very careful about what I say. Very specifically, there's indications about Reagan and Bush, which don't make me happy. More specifically, I've been given very detailed information about a specific deal and a specific money transaction, which relates to the Thatcher family. If you want my personal opinion, I don't think that Margaret Thatcher was receiving arms kickbacks, which she quite clearly was, for her own personal use. I don't think Margaret Thatcher gave much concern for personal money. I do, however, believe that she put together a fund of some 300 to 400 million pounds sterling, which is what I'm told, for keeping the Conservative Party true to its message. Listeners may say, well, that's just not good enough. No, I don't think it is good enough, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. But this
well,
is
well, it's like you wrote the, you know, All the President's Men. You're kind of, you like wrote the book halfway through, you know, what you have, or two-thirds of the way through, and there might be another book, or we might have some, you know, big news organization try to jump on the bandwagon to look into this. But it is fascinating to me, all of this secret movement of money. I mean, it's bad enough that we have our Federal Reserve here that can just create money, so-called quantitative easing. They can just go on a computer and put in the numbers, and now there's more money in circulation. That's bad enough when you talk about the fungibility of money. We're now at a point now where secret bank accounts moving money around. And then, you know, all of our politicians are fabulously wealthy after they get out of office. Like the Bush family, they say they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It's like nobody wants to ask them, well, where did all this money come from? Do you make hundreds of millions of dollars from giving speeches? Like, look at the Clintons. Their net worth is over $100 million, and all they can say is, well, we give speeches. I mean, you know, people don't pay that kind of money for speeches. So there's something more going on here. And I think, you know, your story, what's fascinating to me, it's like you were on your way to the grocery store and all of a sudden took a left turn, and now you're into all of this. You never planned to get into any of this. But what's fascinating to me is, you know, these people that work in intelligence, they're people that have families. They're people that have friends. And you're a friend of a guy who was probably an intelligence officer. And this is the complexity of this. They can't get rid of the fact that he had a friend like you. And now you're asking questions. This is why on TV and in the movies, these people live in like warehouses and don't have friends and family, because then there's no one to ask questions. But this was a man of the community, a man who had a family, a man who had friends, all part of his cover, perhaps. But now there's too many people asking questions, and you're one of them, and you've done a fantastic job with the book. We're out of time, but I want to just tell people the website is maggieshammer.com. We get most of our response through downloads, Jeffrey, so look for the big benefit from this.
Okay.
In about 4 or 5 days, you'll see that. The website, maggieshammer.com. The book, Maggie's Hammer. Our guest, Jeffrey Gilson, thank you so much for joining us. We're out of time. We'll be back next Sunday night. If it's Sunday night, it's Jim Paris Live. We'll talk to you next time. Hi, this is radio talk show host Jim Paris. And if you are like me, you hate all of those monthly bills. Well, I reached the point about 3 years ago that I decided enough was enough, and I went to war with my personal stack of monthly bills. I canceled cable TV and legally connected my television to the internet, and now I get hundreds of free TV channels, and I don't pay for cable TV. I found a little-known way of getting free home phone service for life, and I discovered a totally legal way to opt out of Obamacare and cut my health insurance bill by more than 60% per year. If you want to learn more about my personal war on monthly bills, check out my website, ChristianMoneyPlus.com. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. If you're just plain sick and tired of those monthly bills, check out my website, ChristianMoneyPlus.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Ricky LeBlanc, admitted in Mass only. Sokolov Law, LLC, Chestnut Hill, Mass. Ken Levin, responsible attorney in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Greg Hobby, New Jersey. The choice of lawyer is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertisements. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, most cases of this type refer to other attorneys for principal responsibility. If you know what mesothelioma is, you or someone you love has likely been impacted by this devastating cancer. You may be entitled to compensation. Call Sokolov Law today. 1-800-218-HELP. The only known cause of mesothelioma is asbestos exposure. Thousands of hardworking men and women, including many U.S. veterans and industrial workers, have been diagnosed with mesothelioma because manufacturers knew the dangers but put profits ahead of people. An estimated $30 billion in court-ordered trusts has been set aside to pay money to asbestos victims. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, call now. You may be entitled to receive compensation without ever going to court or filing a lawsuit. Call for a free legal consultation at 1-800-218-HELP. That's 1-800-218-HELP.